Turn back in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. Spend most of our time this morning talking about the story of Joseph. It's good to see you here today. It's great to once again be standing up here and getting to bring a lesson to you. It was interesting last week when Randy was speaking, McKenna was taking notes. She was somewhat surprised when the lesson was over. She didn't have as many notes as she normally does, and she's made sure to comment to me that maybe a few less notes on her part would be a good thing. But it's good to be here. Good to have my family here. That certainly is always a treat and an answer to prayer in many ways. It's good to see Ashlyn here. Welcome home. Don't be gone so long next time. It's been like 4 weeks. It's too long. So good to see you, and good to have other visitors with us today. We're thankful for you being here. There's a question we ask sometimes. Maybe somebody has asked you this question, or maybe you've asked it of others, or maybe you've asked a third person a question about this person over here. We'll ask the question, you know, what's your story? And I may be asking you that on a personal level, or you may be asking me that on a personal level, or we may be looking over here and saying, like, hey, what's his story? Like, what is going on with this guy? And sometimes it may have a kind of a positive spin in it. Sometimes it's a kind of a head-scratching question. What is going on with this guy? Or what's going on with you? Or if you're just trying to learn about someone for the very first time, maybe you've just met this person. Hey, tell me your story. And I think sometimes we might give the wrong answer to that question. And what I mean by that is, most oftentimes when somebody asks us our story, we'll have a very limited view of that question. And really what we're mainly answering with is what's been going on recently, or what's gone on in the past. And we might dwell on a few good things. We might be talking about how downtrodden we are because we've been going through some very difficult times. And a lot of times when we are asked the question, what is your story? Our answer is based on just a few scenes from the story. We're not looking at it from a fuller picture of what the whole story is all about. And think about this as it relates to Joseph's life. When David got finished reading, when you read in your Bibles, we see Joseph in a pit. That was just a scene. That's not the story. Right, because as we continue to read on, we find out that Joseph actually got out of that pit. And then he went into another scene in his life, which you might think is even worse than the scene that was before it. He is sold by his brothers. And I think you could make the argument that all of the brothers are in a pit this day, aren't they? They're all in their own little pit. Joseph is in a physical pit. But Reuben's in a pit. Judah's in a pit. He's the one that came up with the idea to sell his brother to those Midianites who were passing by. But Joseph gets out of that pit and he ends up getting sold into slavery, sold into Potiphar's house. And then so he ends up into a new scene of his story, a scene that goes pretty well. I mean, yes, he is a slave, but he is elevated in that household. He's given a great amount of power. He's given the responsibility of being in charge of everything in Potiphar's house. There's been nothing, absolutely nothing that has been withheld from him except one thing, which is his wife. And then he enters another scene of his story where Potiphar's wife grabs him and tries to entice him to lie with her. And he runs away. And where he finds out is that the next scene of the story is him being falsely accused of something that he did not do. Going to prison for something that he did not do. And even there, the Lord is blessing him. He rises to power again. Is able to help a few people along the way. People who made promises to him, but then they neglected their promises. And he still finds himself in prison. But do you see that all along the way, Joseph's life, his story is being told scene by scene? And what Satan wants us to do as we think about our story is he wants us focusing on the individual scenes of our life, doesn't he? He wants us focusing on the fact that we are in a pit, and he wants us to think that that is the story, but it's not. That's just a scene. It's not the story. It's not the whole of what God is doing in our lives, what He is working on us, what He is doing to work through us in the lives of other people. But think about this. Think about this in Joseph's life. As Joseph moves from scene to scene, what if he had given up when he was in the pit? What if he had given up when he was being sold into slavery? What if he had given up when he was falsely accused and sentenced to prison? What if he had given up at any point in any one of those scenes of his life? Well, then he himself might never have seen the whole story of what God had planned for him. But we see that Joseph didn't have that view of his life. He did not have the view of this is my story. He understood that this is a scene. And in each scene of his life, He is looking for and recognizing and working within the parameters of the fact that God was with him. Over and over and over again throughout the story, you will see the phrase show up, God was with Joseph. God blessed Joseph. He did whatever it was that Joseph did, God blessed it. And he made it good. And he allowed Joseph to experience the very best of what he could have in each situation and circumstance of his life. Did he want to be in the pit? No. Did he want to be in prison? No. But God was with him and God was blessing him all along the way. And Joseph saw that and recognized it and lived within that, understanding that this scene is not my story. This is not the whole thing. This is not the end. This is not what God is doing here. If Joseph had given up in the pit, he may never have seen the palace. And that's where he ends up. He ends up, finally, the man who had promised him that he would tell the king all about him. Finally, the situation arose where the king now has a dream. And he needs someone to interpret it, and Joseph is lifted up out of prison, rising again, not just to second in command in someone's household, but second in command in all of Egypt. And it's in the very last chapter of the book of Genesis that we see the story revealed to us.
We see the entirety of the story given to us. Look in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?" So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father charged before he died, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Right here is where Joseph shows us that he understands that his life is not his scene. His life is the story that God is writing for him. And in this case, he's thinking back over the course of his life, and you remember how all this got started. It got started through a series of dreams that Joseph had of all of his brothers coming and bowing down before him. Well, that sounded ridiculous back then, but now it makes perfect sense as the older brothers are coming and they're bowing down before Joseph and they're begging his forgiveness, which is a practice I would suggest all older siblings do at some point in their life. I think that would be a good thing for all older siblings to do, to bow down before their brothers, beg their forgiveness for the way that they have treated them over the course of their life. I think that's a good practice. That's a side note, maybe a sermon for another day. But we understand now the story of Joseph's life. Joseph, how many rotten attitudes could Joseph have had at this point? A bunch of them, right? I mean, he's in power. He's the one that has all the authority. He could do whatever he wanted to. If he had gone to Pharaoh and he had said, "I want you to destroy this entire people," Pharaoh would have done it without question. And yet Joseph doesn't. He doesn't do that. Because he understands that his life is not those scenes. He understands that his life is a story that has a lot of scenes in it. But no one of those scenes is telling the entirety of the story. There were times where Joseph was on cloud nine. He's walking around. He's got this super awesome techno-colored suit on that his father has given to him as a special gift. He has this amazing life with his family. And things are going great. And then the scene changes and he's in a pit. And the scene changes and he's out of the pit, which I'm sure he was glad to be out of the pit, but now he's in a band of traitors that are walking down to Egypt and he's about to be sold into slavery. And then the scene changes and he's blessed and gets as free as a slave can be in a household of his master. He gets to experience that. And then the scene changes. But no one scene is telling the story. of what God is doing. And at the end, in Genesis 50, we see that Joseph had a great understanding of this fact, that his life was a story being written by God. And in this case, you guys meant it for me, for harm, for wrong. But God meant it for good in order to bring about this result, to preserve many people alive. I'm going to take care of you, Joseph says to his brothers and their little ones. I think we can learn a lot from this. There's so many times that we ourselves get caught up in the scene in which we're living. And our focus becomes so much about the scene that we're not living out the story. We're not allowing God to continue to write more of the story. And so we find ourselves in a bad job situation. And that scene then becomes this consuming thought for us. And if we become so consumed by that, then we'll miss out on what our story is supposed to be. We might find ourselves being laid off by our employer. That's not a pleasant scene to be living in. We might find ourselves being falsely accused of something. That's not a scene that is enjoyable to be living in. Many of us have had to live through that scene. And it's not fun. Maybe the scene that you're living in right now is one of those great scenes where you're walking around with a big multicolored coat on and things are great. It's just a scene. It's not the story. And so we've got to learn this same lesson that Joseph had to learn in looking at our life as this series of scenes that are all working together. How is God working in me? How's He working on me in the present scene that I'm living in? In the scene of health that I'm in the scene of life that I am in. Well, I'm in high school now, but next year I'm going to be in college, and so my scene is going to shift. And so things are going to be a little bit different then. And then I might even consider going into some postgraduate work. If you're like my brother, you just keep going to school all the time. There's no end to it. And you just keep going. And so how is that scene going to be different than this scene? And then we get our first job, and what's that scene going to be like? And so we've got to have the wisdom that Joseph was able to gain. Let's lean on his wisdom. I'm not suggesting to you this morning that Joseph was perfect, that he did exactly the right thing in every single situation of life. If Joseph was perfect, then he could have died for us and Jesus would have never had to have come. He wasn't perfect, but let's learn from him. Let's gain wisdom from his life, and let's learn that every situation, every day is a new scene. And what is God hoping to do for you today? What is he doing on you and in you and through you as you move from scene to scene in your life? To not allow ourselves to get bogged down when we're in a pit. Not allowing ourselves to think that this is it. This is the story of my life. No, it's just a scene. It's not the story. And then again, on the other side of that, not allowing ourselves to get too high when things are going great, when we're standing on the mountaintop of life and we think that we have finally arrived to some place of greatness. That too can just be a scene. A scene in which God wants us to learn something. He wants to do something for us and through us. as we not only live out the story that he's writing for our lives, but as we then interact with the stories that he's writing on others' lives. So I want you to think today. I want to invite you to think through where you are right now. What is my scene? And then compare that to this, not compare it, but place it within the context of the story. Because here's the truth. The story that God is writing for all of us is the same. The story that he's writing for every single one of us is the same. He saw a group of worthless sinners. A group of people who had walked away from him, who had chosen to sin and separate themselves from him. And he looked down and he said, I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to send my son, and he's going to suffer, and he's going to die. And then I'm going to raise him from the dead so that those who believe in him, those who recognize what I've done, they can be with me. We had a great comment in Bible class this morning. And we're talking about the prophecy of Zacharias in Luke chapter 1. As he talked about not only what was going to happen in Jesus, who, by the way, hadn't even been born yet. He was still in Mary's womb at this point. But he's writing as though salvation and redemption has already happened for his people. Even though the baby's yet to be born, much less he hasn't lived a perfect sinless life. He hasn't died on the cross through suffering and agony. And has yet to be raised from the dead. None of that has happened, but though God's promises are so sure, it was Bill that said this, his promises are so sure that they can be spoken of, they can be written about as if they are in the past tense. And for the one who believes in Jesus, the one who has surrendered obedience to God through faith in Jesus Christ, the one who has been washed from their sins, who has been raised to walk in newness of life, your story has been written. But it's possible that the scene that you're in right now, you look around and find yourselves in a pit. And Satan wants you there. He not only wants you there physically, he wants you there mentally, emotionally, spiritually. He wants you to focus on this scene. But that is not your story. Your story is one of a sinner who was lost, who Jesus came to find. He found you. He picked you up. He carried you out of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. He has raised you up to seat with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has placed you within the hand of your Father, and no one can take you away from that. No pit, no false accusation, no troublesome time. They can't take it away from you unless you choose to give it away. Just remember that the scene that you're going through right now, whatever it may be, that scene is not the story. Let's learn from Joseph this morning. Let's have the wisdom that he had as we see what God is doing. And in each situation, each scenario of life, let's ask ourselves these questions. What is God doing on me in this scene? What is he doing in me in this scene? And what is he doing through me in this scene? And if we can answer those questions, then we'll be able to have the same attitude and mindset that Joseph had at the end. I see now how all of the scenes work together to tell my story. So what's your story? It's possible that your story still needs to be written. In the fact that you have not yet put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not yet tasted the freedom and redemption and forgiveness that comes through knowing Him, through following Him, keeping His commandments, living as He lived. And so the scene that you find yourself in this morning is one of desperately needing a Savior. A scene that we have all lived or may be living at this present moment. And you have the opportunity right now, a decision that you make. You don't have to stay in that scene any longer. It's a decision that you can make to move into the next scene, which is a scene of understanding what freedom and liberty and forgiveness and healing, to be able to experience what all of those things feel like. It's only available through one means, and that is through Jesus Christ. Do you believe that He is the Son of God? Do you believe that He is the Savior of the world? Do you believe so strongly that you're willing to set your desires, your agendas, your hopes and wishes aside, your life, your practices, and to lay all of those things down to say, I want to serve You, Jesus? Are you willing to obey His commands? Are you willing to be buried with Him in baptism so you can have your sins washed away so that God can raise you up and seat you in the heavenly places? You get to decide. And we would all love to live through that transition from one scene to the next with you, if you're willing. Come forward as we stand and sing this song to encourage you.